Ko Kumiu, toko awa, ko Waitakere, toko rohi, ko Ngāti Pākehā, toko iwi, ko Rewan Moody, tako ingoa. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. It is so cool to be here. I've been through quite a few times and met with your children's ministry leaders over the years. Spent quite a bit of time with Susan when Susan Cooney when she was doing children's ministry. But for me at the moment, I am at Westgate Baptist Church now. I've been there 28 years and I've been on staff there for 16 years. And before my husband and I started attending Westgate Baptist, we were in full-time ministry with Youth for Christ, and we were working with young people in West Auckland. But now, as you can see, we've got two grown-up children. We've got also my foster daughter who's here with me today, and my little grandson that you can see, So he is a delight. We are very fortunate grandparents. We live on the same property as our little grandson now. He's 17 months old, and the latest news at Easter was that my daughter's expecting number two in October. So I just love being a grandma. It's awesome. But in my work at Westgate Baptist, I'm family and community pastor, and I'm also working as a chaplain in our local primary school as part of that. I had taught in primary school for 23 years, but now I'm working just in the ministry area, so I love that, and I get to do some Bible in school as well. So over all my years of being a Christian, there are frustrations, it's often exciting, and I'm always in a great journey with God to learn more about Him and growing in my relationship with Him. So I think we'd all relate that we've all got stuff to learn. But first of all, inside your newsletters, you had a couple of post-it notes that were stuck in there. Hopefully some of you have got some pens around, so I've got a little task for you to do in huddles where you're sitting. So on those post-it notes, I want you to write some of the things that children need to learn. Now I'm very aware with my little grandson Theo, he had to learn how to walk. We were so excited when he started walking, even rolling over. That was a big deal. And then he's learning to talk and put sentences together. So thinking from that early beginning, children have to learn to walk and talk, right through to teenagers, and it was cool to stay with Monica and her family and see the L plates. Teenagers need to learn to drive. It's such an important skill. So all of that span, just in your little groups, and then once you've come up with a few, just bring them up. We're going to stick them on the whiteboard here. So just gather together and have a wee chat. What do kids need to learn? Kids through to teens. Should have had chocolate for the first post-it note up here. So if you've written some down, then just start to bring them up. Yep, bring them up here, yep. Awesome, yep, okay. Oh, some good ones here. Love, sharing, obedience. Learning how to learn, that's cool. Oh, table manners, yep. Toilet training, woohoo. Respect, relationships, yep. Whoa, welcome to eating.
I'm the messenger.
Yep. Selflessness, respect is coming up a lot. Care for others, yep. Manners, holding a spoon, knife and fork. Who God is. Awesome. Love. Yep. We've got a whole lot here. Yep. Yep. Stick them on. Yep. Tell the time. Manners. Yep. Obey. Respect. Yep. Walking. Oh, willing. Yes. They need to learn to be willing. Love. Yep. Reading and writing. Yes. Jesus is Savior. Cool. Obedience. Be part of church community. Yep. Lovely. Patience, that's a good one. Yep, learning to pray. Yep, safety, yes. Cool. How to feed themselves, yep. Manners is coming up a lot, I'm noticing. Yep. Manners, yep. Yep. Cool. Thank you. Jesus. They need to learn Jesus. Yep. Very cool. Boundaries. Service. Lovely. Thank you. Honesty. Very good. Very nice. Thank you. Preparation for life, community, and eternity. That's a big one. Kindness. Good choices, life skills. Awesome. Okay, do we have any others? There's one word I'm missing up here, and it starts with W. It's what we've all come here to do today. Okay, cool. Care for one another. Obedience. Yep, obedient. Yep. That's right. Write it on. Yep, cool. That they are loved. Thank you.
Learn not to be upside down. Oh. If I put one upside down, that's all right.
Okay, loving, having fun. Yes. Listen to stories, share love. Awesome. Right from wrong. Very good. And we've got worship. Thank you.
Oh, here we are.
Worship. Maybe the worship team, they're bringing those ones up. Awesome. How to do your washing. Yep. Work ethic, very good, very good. Okay, it's good to see worshippers up there though. That is an important thing, and often in all the other stuff we're thinking about that kids need to learn, maybe that gets put back a little bit. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. Whoops. And one of the things I want you to just quickly think about, how many of these things that you've heard me calling out need to be taught by professionals, and how many are taught by parents? I think the murmuring is saying that most of these are taught within our family situation, aren't they? Reading and writing, kids do go to school, there's some professional input. How many of you, though, knew a bit about reading and writing before you went to school? Because mum or dad sat and read and wrote with you. Yeah, me too. So parents have a lot to do, don't they? Our families, but wider families too, have a lot to do. But worship is a really big, important thing. Now, in the professional area, I think some of you, when it comes to those teenagers learning to drive, you might actually be going, I think we'll send them to driving school, maybe. And then within the midst of all this, I know there's stuff that our kids teach us too. And worship, we're going to find today, is actually a two-way street. I know for myself, with my son when he was a teenager, I was really useless on the computer. In fact, probably my foster daughter will say I'm still useless on the computer. So he would tell me something, and then I'd go, KJ, can you help me with this again? Mom, I've told you that before. And I'd say, KJ, it took me more than one go to teach you to walk, to talk, to use the toilet, to use a spoon. It took me a long time to teach you to drive. You will show me again for the 100th time how to do this on the computer. So it's persistence, isn't it? Yep. But seriously, it was really good to see a bunch of people coming up and saying worship is one of the things that we need to work together to teach children. And this is not just going to be parents. This is for everyone here in this room today and your wider community. So this is important to God. Therefore, it needs to be important to us as followers of him. So we're going to have a scripture come up now, and it's color-coded. So we're going to read the scripture all together. and it's from Deuteronomy. And I'm going to ask the men who and boys who are 30 years or younger to read all the yellow words. I'm going to ask the women and the girls who are 30 years or younger to read all the blue words. I'm going to ask the men who are 31 and over to read all the red words. And I'm going to ask the women who are 31 or over to read all the green words. Okay? So we start with men, love, women, your God, older men with all, and older women when you like. And I'm doing all the white bits, okay? So let's see if we can do this. So, starting with the younger men, go.
Love.
The Lord.
Love.
And.
Love.
And.
Love.
These commandments that I give you today are to be on.
Your heart.
Them on.
Your children.
Talk.
About them when you.
Sit.
At home and.
When you walk.
Along the road.
And
them as symbols on and
Your
them on
Your
right. Again go
right.
Them on the door frames of
Your
and on
Your
okay, hands up who's read that scripture before. Quite a few of you. Okay, all right, well done there. I really liked the very loud yellow words there. Okay. Now, some of you might say, well, that's Old Testament. That was Moses, and he was talking to all those Israelites. What has that got to do with us? But Jesus, when he was here on earth, had a bunch of those Israelite descendants come around him and say, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And guess what he did? He quoted back to that verse we've just read. So if we have a look in Matthew 22, they were trying to trap him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And they were all fired up for this big argument. This one, no, this one. And they loved to debate. But Jesus just cut through the middle. He quoted what we've just read, which was called the Shema. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So this is what Jesus had in reply. So for me, I think this is part of God's strategic plan for us to pass on faith through the generations. And we could summarize it like this. I love and worship God, and I teach others to love and worship God. So when we're loving God with all our heart, we are worshiping him. Worship is not just when we come to sing on a Sunday morning or in the car when we put on worship music and say, I'm worshiping God. Worship is about everything we do, every waking moment. If we are focusing towards God in our schoolwork, in our work that we're paid for, in our work around the home, if God is in the forefront of our mind, every little thing we do is worshiping God. So this was not just mums and dads. It wasn't Moses going, mums and dads, this is what you have to do. Look who Moses was talking to when he gave that commandment that we read. He was talking to the whole tribe of Israel. He was talking to the leaders and the elders. He was talking to the mums, to the dads, to the grandmas. He was talking to every single person who was part of that huge movement that moved from Egypt to the promised land. And this was the faith center that God wanted Moses, everyone, to pass on to their children as they went into the promised land. So, as a fairly new grandmother, I'm really realizing the beauty of the job that I have. So here's Theo when he was about 6 months old last year. My daughter came to me and she said, oh, he's so little, apart from reading the Bible and singing to him, how can I pass faith on to him now? So I said to her, you can pray a blessing over him every night. So this is him lying in his cot, ready for bed. She makes the sign of the cross as she says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. She rubs the side of his face as she said, may the Lord turn his face towards you. And she rubs his tummy when she says, and may the Lord give you peace. And it's so cool. Sometimes I get to put him to bed and I get to do that. And I get to see that little smile. He just loves it. And he knows the blessing is part of his nighttime routine. It's just beautiful. So being part of that passing on faith is really, really precious. Now I want you to stop and just think for a moment about your life. Who is it that passed faith onto you? Why you are here today? Who was that person? And secondly, who are you passing faith on to? So keep those people in your minds, because later on when we have our worship time, when the worship team come up, you're going to have an opportunity to actually go out to the foyer. We've got some worship stations set up, and at one of them is a tree, and the leaves on the tree will be the names of those people who've passed faith on to you, written in yellow, and who you are passing faith on to, written in green. So really, really important to be part of this ongoing legacy. Okay, and in the New Testament, everyone was part of worshipping God too. Everyone. Jesus said this: the blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when those chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that he did and heard the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. And they probably didn't like shouting in their temple courts. "Yes," replied Jesus, "have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise.'" So worshipping God is important for us all, from those infants and children right through to, we had a 105-year-old at our church last year who sadly passed away, but she was at church every Sunday she could be there. She loved to worship God. It's so important. Okay, so children, I've got a question for you to answer, and you're going to go out just into that little foyer area for a minute, and this is your question, or two: what is the purpose of worship, and why is it important? So if all the primary school age children can just head out and around the corner there for a minute, you're going to have a look at some scripture, and then we want to get your ideas of why you think worship's important after you've read that, and then we're going to get you to come back in and share those with us. So if the kids can just head out around the corner there. Yep, you've got two lovely people who are going to lead you. Is that all the kids we've got today? Nope, go for it. Okay, we'd love to hear back from you soon about what you think God is saying to you. So for the rest of you who are in here, what we are doing today is of vital importance to the future of God's church. All right. Our last New Zealand census showed a big drop in the number of adults who are identifying themselves as Christian. And we in the Baptist churches of New Zealand have actually been doing some research too, and we're finding a lot of our churches are declining, and a big part of that is less children coming along. So there's a lot of reasons for that. But there's one guy that I have a lot of respect for. His name's David Goodwin. He's run Kids Reach conferences for children's ministry here in New Zealand, provided amazing resources. He's passionate about children. And he realised that we were losing a lot of kids in transition. So he did his master's thesis in Australia called Lost in Transition or Not, looking ahead to 2047 and saying, what are our churches going to look like then? And one of the reasons, so there are lots, but this is just one reason he identified for this drop-off. As he talked to 200 young Christian Australians, and their culture is similar to ours, they said, why did your friends stop coming to church? Why have they dropped out? And 56.8% of them said it was a lack of acceptance for those friends of theirs by the wider church. So adults didn't know who these young people were, they didn't feel any sense of connection, so they just drifted off. So that's quite a sizable chunk. There were a number of other smaller percentages, 58.6%, sorry. So that was the deal breaker, why these young Christians were leaving church. Now, our culture that we live in has promoted a marketing strategy that we separate out all the ages. You have Baby Factory for the babies, and then you have Cotton On for the teens, and you have Jackie E for my age, and my mum's favourite stores, Miller's. But unfortunately, we've done the same with our churches. So our kids are in creche, then they go into children's church, and then they go into teen ministry, and then they go, oh, we want something else. We want a young adult service, and some churches have a senior service. So we've had all of these little age groups. It's what our culture has done. It's you don't all be together. You know, you'd rather be here, there, or somewhere else. Now listen carefully. I am not saying stop youth group. It's awesome to see all the youth here. I'm not saying, yep, great, great. I'm not saying stop having age groups, for your small groups. I'm not saying stop having a children's ministry. What I am saying is, as a church, we need significant times when we are all together to worship, like what you're doing today, like what I heard that you've done the last two Sundays. These are important, okay? Yep. So, if we're going to be able to pass faith across the generations, we have to know each other to help with that job. If there is going to be a church for Jesus to come back to, we have to take this really seriously. And so often, I know it doesn't happen here, I can see it, but in many churches, the kids aren't even in church at all. They just go straight to their programs. And so they don't know any of you. They don't know what worship looks or feels like in this church. All they do is go from their children's program to the youth, to the young adults, and then they just drift off somewhere, and everyone goes, why did that happen? We had such great programs. But our faith is not just about great programs, it is about relationship. Okay, now, are there answers? Yes, and there are actually lots of answers, just like there were lots of problems. But I'm talking to you here in a congregational setting. So one answer, a wonderful guy called George Barna in the States has done thousands of interviews with thousands of young people about their faith and why some have stuck and why some haven't. He says, people who had a close relationship with another non-parental adult or mentor in the church were twice as likely to stay in church. So that's why it's so important that all of you are here today and that all of you take this on board and think, what can I do? Who am I passing faith on to? Who can I get to know? Now, I've come across a very challenging little book recently, and it's called Parenting in the Pew, and it's by a vicar's wife. Now, their church culture is all-age Sunday school. I actually grew up with this model, and then everyone sits in church. Her husband was always up the front taking the sermon. She was always in the front row with her two little boys, and she said it was hard. But looking back, she has found there are a significant number of wins. So she says, it takes the church to make disciples. Intentional, generational development within a church is hard in our culture because it is countercultural. All of our culture is saying, no, you don't want to be all together. Let's just have all the older people living over there. They don't want to live in the streets with everyone else. It's hard because it's biblical, and it's hard because it's costly. And everyone in the congregation has to die to themselves to be servants to one another under the headship of Jesus Christ. So that's a quote from her book. Really, really hard stuff. And yes, it is a lot easier to worship when there's no little people running around. But as Russell said, you guys love that, so that's fantastic. But there is a sacrifice needed. And there's a verse in the Bible in Hebrews that actually talks about bringing a sacrifice of praise. So if we are going to be worshipping with little ones running around, it is going to be a bit of a sacrifice. And I'm talking to everyone here now, not just parents. But it's so important. When I take baby dedications at my church, I remind the whole congregation it takes a village to raise a child, that lovely African proverb. So it's about all of us together. And we need to remember, it was cool that you had kids going out, but unfortunately there's a lot of churches around the world and in New Zealand with no children. So one Catholic church had this as a little card they handed out to people as they came in. The presence of children is a gift to the church, and they are a reminder that our church is growing. So hallelujah that you have got all these little ones in your church. You're growing, it's good, it's great. So quickly before the kids come back in, there are four wins that I've taken from Robbie's book about what we win if we are working like this. So one thing she says, teaching our children to worship, and that's what she calls parenting in the pew, is entering to the house of our Heavenly Father, so this is one expression of God's house, and saying, Daddy, I'd like you to meet my children. And she says, worshipping is seeing our Father smile. So how much did God smile when he saw you all coming in here today and encouraging the kids to join in and worship? That's awesome. God smiles. Win two. And I need to say that for me, it's really, really hard. I have two children, and one of them is not following the Lord. So there will be many of you here too. I wish I'd learned a lot of this stuff before, when my kids were really little. So she says, learning to pay attention to my children in church has helped me pay attention to my Heavenly Father in worship. I cannot think of many examples of my children growing up where I paid attention to what was happening in their lives in worship. I know one when my daughter was two and she had a beautiful little singing voice and she was booming out away in a manger, and then the worship leader noticed and invited her up the front. I thought that was really precious. But Robbie says, I do remember times when my children were first held in the Father's arms. I can still see Scott's tears offered in repentance as he confessed his grubby heart to Jesus. I can still hear Jesus Christ the Crucified boomed loudly and off-key from my toddler sons when they were learning the choruses from the old hymns. I was with them when they first understood a gospel illustration. I answered their questions about that five-syllable word used in a sermon. I was next to Robert and Scott the first time they held the sacred symbols of communion in their hands. I paid attention, and these moments of grace and worship are remembered and treasured. And it's important to focus on those so they're not lost in the distractions of the day. So we've probably all got regrets, and we can probably all look back and go, wow, I lost those moments, I was so busy. But we can start here and now. We can start working together on this. And I'm sure there's some of you that are already doing it. Children don't have to interfere with our worship of God, because really it is about God, it is not about us. And I know some of us walk into church and we're like, oh, bless my soul, O Lord. But actually, what did it say? No, bless the Lord, O my soul. We've come in here to worship God, and when we have these little people with us, he is smiling and we are worshiping him together. Now, we know that Jesus had his disciples going, who's the greatest, you know? I'm going to sit next to Jesus. No, no, it's going to be me. And they were arguing over that. And Jesus came and said, oh, what was that, boys? What were you arguing about? Oh, suddenly very quiet. But Jesus knew, didn't he? And what did he do? He brought a little child into the midst of them, and he sat that child down, and he said, unless you can become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So this is our 1-3. It can change our own hearts. Those prideful disciples arguing about who was the greatest. And this is really countercultural. We love our kids. And we'd go, oh, of course, we, you know, children are wonderful. But in the Roman dominant culture of Jesus' day, if that baby wasn't the sex you wanted, it was left to die on the side of the road. Children were not valued like we value them. So for Jesus to grab that child and put them in the midst, that was really countercultural. So when we come and we worship together with children, it is a challenge, but we're worshiping a God who's jealous for our time and attention and love. And when children are there, it is a bigger challenge, but it is so worth it, and it can change our hearts. And the fourth one, just before the kids come back in, we then become part of God's plan that he had to pass on faith to the next generation. So when we are here worshiping, as I saw you before, then we are showing all the kids, wow, my mum and dad, all these adults around me, they love to worship God too. We're being the best example. When we're making prayer a priority, and I love what you did praying for people everywhere, we are showing children prayer is so important. They're not going to see that if they're in another program. They see that when they're here, watching the way you love and worship God and the watching the way that you parent and pray. So parents, you do have a huge job, but I'm praying that this church, Whangarei Central Baptist, will be the village that helps you raise your child, will partner with you, and will join with you. And that's why it's so important to have that supportive congregation. And older people, it is really good to be generous. You can go to your Bible study group together where it's quieter, but when you come here, you are part of God's plan, and that is so exciting. Okay, I'm going to ask the children, not sure if they can hear me, maybe someone in the back can just nip out, because they're going to share now what they've learned about finding what the purpose is of worship and why it's important. So hopefully you've got some ideas in your head. You haven't read the same scriptures that they've read, but you've read them probably many times before, and you might have a few ideas too. Hopefully we've got some brave children that might tell us. Or we can just read out what they've written. Yep, that would be great, Russell, to have the mic. Yes, they're coming in now. Awesome. All right. As Russell said, if you've got any questions or anything you want to ask me about later too, if you're going, oh, but what about this or that, I'm very, very happy to engage with that after the service. Okay, they are coming. I will just read you a little wee bit more story as they come in. So from Robbie again, as the idea of praying, she says sometimes we just teach children to pray basic prayers, but she said as a seven-year-old, her boy was wheezing with asthma. As he struggled with the idea that Jesus could heal but had not healed him, after many prayers of his own and along with those of ours and the elders of the church, he surprised me with a faith. Jesus, I know you know best. I sure would like to be better, but whatever you do is okay with me. And he'd learnt that by wrestling with prayer and faith with the wider congregation. Awesome. Okay, now did you want to read that out? Or do you want me to? Do you want to read it out? So this is from Psalm. So what they've figured out is?
Everyone can worship God.
Awesome. That's very, very cool. And these guys, yep, well done. Good. It's a bit scary up here with everyone, isn't it? They also had a look at worship in Revelation. So worshippers.
God is awesome.
Yeah, that's part of what all the angels said. Yep. That's another Revelation verse.
Serving God and showing God respect.
Yep, so that was a part of what worship is all about. Awesome. And then this one is from Psalms.
Miracles could happen. Breakthrough stuff could happen. Brings joy into your heart.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, guys. Do you want to leave these along the front so people can look at them afterwards? Some of the verses that you guys read. Well done. Very good. So there is a lot of scripture about worship, but it is hard. So inside your bulletins also, I've just given you the outline now of the next little bit. I'm just going to skim through this, but these are some family tips for us worshipping together. So who here likes to make cakes? Who are the bakers and cake makers in here? We've got a few. Okay. So how often do you make a cake? Anyone over here? Once in a blue moon, okay. Is there anyone who bakes every week, who makes a cake every week? Yep, okay. What sort of cakes do you make? Fruit cake every week? Yep, every week, okay. Anyone else? What sort of cakes do you bake once in a blue moon? Banana cakes. Anyone else for banana cakes? Yep, okay. So if you're making a cake every week, it's an ordinary cake. But this cake, this is my daughter, I think at her 19th, when we just had a little family dinner. What's the difference between this cake and the cake you might have for afternoon tea every week? What's the difference? The decorations and the icing and the candles, yep. It's a special cake, yep, and you can tell the difference. So, cake is a bit like worship. So some of you have cake every day for afternoon tea or every week. But for some of you, it's that special experience. So God wants us to worship him every day, but coming here on a Sunday is a special experience. So I'm just thinking about that birthday cake and the difference that was between that one and the ordinary one that you might have every week. What is the difference when we come here to God's house to worship? Do we prepare or do we just roll out of bed and rock on up and go, oh yeah, I'm here again? So there is some preparation, and for families with young children, there's a bit more preparation to do, isn't it? So one of the things we can do to, I know what the mad scramble was to get to church on a Sunday morning, is to actually have the clothes out the day before and have them ready. And they don't have to be your best clothes. Okay, I picked better because I thought I'm at the front and I don't know what your dress code is. But seriously, we're not wanting the very best clothes. My mum used to dress me in these itchy, scratchy things that were just awful. But we had the clothes out the day before. They were ready. And we actually had to have our shoes polished the day before as well. We had a preparation day on Friday, on the day before. So for parents, though, if you just have the clothes out there so the kids know what they're going to wear and you're not in that crazy running around looking for socks and shoes the minute before you take off out the door, that actually takes away some stress. Just a small thing, prepare before you come. If you were going to a birthday party, you would be preparing. This is God's special day. So we can have those clothes, but we don't have to have the best, because what is God looking at when we come here? Our heart, there's the scripture. So from Samuel, man looks at the outward appearance. People, we look at who's wearing what, but God is actually looking at our heart. Did you prepare when you came to worship today? Yes, God can tell that. Awesome. Okay, and for parents, you can say to your kids on the Sunday morning, this is God's special day. We're really excited. We're going to go to church and worship him. Maybe you could even have some music playing in the house before you come, just to set the scene, some worship music. If you're bringing an offering, have that ready so that it's not just a tip of what's in your purse, it's actually your tithe you've prepared. And keep breakfast really simple. Try and lessen the stress. So those are just some things that make it a little easier to come to worship. And then as you're driving along, have a positive attitude and say, hey, what is so good about going to church? What are we looking forward to? Who are those special people we want to connect with this morning? We're connecting with God, but we've got other people we want to see too. What are the things we love about going to worship in our church? So have those little conversations as you drive. And afterwards, what did we do? What did happen when we met God and worship today? What did we learn? Now, in church, and this is possibly not going to be popular with some young people, but I think it's important to sit together with your family. So I know kids want to sit with their friends, but for younger ones, it's really hard to pay attention to God when you're wanting to pay attention to your friends. So parents, I would encourage you, have your children sit with you and get rid of the distractions like the iPad and the game on that they really wanted to play. We can't pay attention to God when we're doing those things. It's okay to doodle. I know lots of people who doodle and learn things when they're doodling and listen really well, but iPads is not. If your children have friends who don't come to this, parents who don't come to this church, though, do invite them, and you can train all of those children to worship together. And I've been doing this, so it's important. Whisper and explain what's happening. And this is where we need the generosity of other people to know, why is that mum whispering to her child? She's explaining what's happening. Why is that dad asking a question to their child? He wants them to pay attention. Did you hear what that man just said right now? God is doing something in his life. So it's hard, but it's really, really important. And choose where you sit carefully. Now, I have been bringing along some of the children from my chaplaincy at school who'd never been in church before, and I'm part of the pastoral team, so I sit at the front. But I thought, I'm going to bring those children right up the front. And they're sitting there looking wide-eyed at all the instruments on stage, and I'm going, how many guitars can you see? And they're counting them and whispering to me and telling them. And then I'm saying, hey, you know, this person's sharing something that they're really sad about, so we need to be quiet and respectful. They're right up the front. They can see the tears that come in people's eyes. They can see the joy on the worship people's heart. If I had them down the back, they'd just be running up and down. So parents, choose where you sit carefully. It needs to be what works for you. And maybe sit near another family who are also training their children to worship, so you can encourage each other. And if you have a bad day, and bad days will come, you can go, hey, this is so worth it though, next Sunday will be better. And for toddlers, have them stand on the seat beside you so that they can see and point to the words. So this was me in church with Theo. I went to my daughter's church last week because she never gets to hear the sermon otherwise. But he loves to have his little maraca and shake it during the worship time. And when I see his joy in the music, it just really makes me joyful too. It makes me want to worship God more. When the scripture is being read, you can ask some I wonder questions to your kids. I wonder how Jesus looked or sounded when he said that. I wonder how you would feel if you'd been there. I wonder what this verse says to you about how you felt yesterday. Remember that thing that happened? So we can ask those questions. And let your children and young people make comments back to you as they start to make connections between the scripture or the sermon or whatever it is and their lives. Questions are good for kids. And if we're asking the questions, it makes us pay attention a bit more too. If you have a sermon note sheet or something for the kids, make sure you take it and talk about it afterwards so you can connect with what they've learnt. And the third thing is encourage children to join in with prayer. And I just love to hear Russell say, kids go over with parents and pray together for people. Really, really important. So afterwards, after the service, we're going to have our worship time, and there are going to be worship stations out in the foyer and out in the back. So I've just got a few pictures here of some of the worship stations we've done at Westgate. This is one we did around an Easter time where we had a cross and we had things written on it. This was thinking of the Garden of Gethsemane and just reflecting on that. This one is, I love this picture. This was a mum and daughter. We had a cross lying on the ground. We had little pieces of red paper, and everyone was encouraged to go up, hold the red paper in their hand, and reflect on the things that they were not proud of, that they wanted to give to God. So that mum and little girl were nailing those to the cross, and many, many people were really, really moved by that. So reflection stations can come in lots of ways, and some of you might just say, hey, I just want to stand and sing and praise God, and that's fine. But I know we have a lot of people at Westgate who love to move and to create. This was kids thinking of Jesus' tears before he went to crucifixion. So you have that opportunity today. So the stations that we're going to have out the back will reflect the things we've talked about today in our worship to God. And one more thing for parents, please express appreciation to your kids. You can say, I want to let you know how thankful I am that we're all sitting together as a family this morning. Worship with you means a whole lot to me. So don't take it for granted. So we've had a look at some of the ways that we can prepare, the ways that we as a wider church can support each other. And remember, it's an important part of God's plan to pass on faith. So we love and worship God, and we train other people and teach other people to love and worship God. So the response stations that we've got in the foyer are two big whiteboards. And if you're thinking this morning, wow, God, this week you have just been so loving towards me, or you've heard my prayer, you can write some of the attributes of God that just come out of your heart this morning, what God has done for you. So two whiteboards with attributes of God. And further out, there's a tree, a big tree, and there are yellow leaves for you to write down those names you thought of. Who has passed on faith to you? And the challenge for all of us, so that there's a church for Jesus to come back to, who are you passing faith on to? So for older people, it could be like me with my grandson or children. It could be somebody else's children here in the congregation, that you just take that time out to go up and say, hey, I'm praying for you. How's school going? How's your sports team going? How are the driving lessons going? Whatever it is. But that is part of passing on faith, saying to young people, hey, we're praying for you. And the other worship station comes from that song, 10,000 Reasons, and it's a music stave with all the lines, and there are some music notes, and you can just write one of the things that you are so thankful to God for. So that's what we're going to be doing. There's a couple of people who'll guide you as you go out. And if you just want to stand and sing, that is absolutely fine. But do go have a look at the worship stations after the service so that you can see and be encouraged by what other people have written. During the worship time too, as in our church, Russell tells me, you often have an opportunity for prayer. If you're here together with your family and you would like to have a blessing by some of the prayer team, come forward all together and ask someone to pray a blessing over you. If you're like me and there's someone in your family who is not following the Lord, it probably breaks your heart the way it breaks mine. If you'd like someone to come and pray for you for that or for any other reason, do come, and there is a prayer team that would love to pray for you. Okay, so I'll invite the singers and musicians to come back up. Awesome.
Hello. All right, everyone. So this is going to look a little bit different. So we're going to start singing some songs, and I just loved what the kids said. Everyone can worship.
Yeah.
And God is awesome, and that's why we're here to do that. Thank you so much for all that wonderful stuff, Raywin. Lots of food for thought. And we're going to put it into practice. All right, so we're going to start sing these three songs, and stand, sit, whatever you want to, or move out during the songs at any point in time to go to those worship stations. All right, so it's going to look a little bit, and you might be getting someone nudging you so that they can get past you, but let's just work on this together. So let's stand, and we'll start our first song, and it's a new song for us. It's about how faithful God is.